Yes, I like that song. Turn to somebody and say, God restores. Isn't that something? Praise his holy name. Woo! Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We have a number of people. We have a number of people in our church that need special prayer. I'm going to ask you to add Sister Wright to your list. She picked up something, we're not sure what, down in San Antonio that really has got her set back. And that's why you don't see her today. She's coughing and a lot of other things. And so she's watching online. Hi, sweets. And praying that she'll be okay. I'm sure she will. God restores. Yes. Let's pray. Father, speak to us now in your word, even as we have members out in the streets doing this, that, and the other. We worship here. Teach us, encourage us, for Christ's sake. Amen. Genesis 3, verses 5 and 6. Adam's risk. This morning in my first service sermon, I talked about John the Apostle. Next week, I'll be talking about the risk of Noah. I'll be spending the next several Sabbaths dealing with this issue of risking to serve. Risking to serve. That's the theme for the third quarter, starting on July the 4th. And on through September, we'll be talking about Anwar risking to serve. What risks are you willing to take to serve the Lord? But today, I will focus a bit on what risks you are taking that are keeping you from serving the Lord. But Genesis 3, verses 5 and 6, let's read these together. Yeah, it's up there. You got it? See it? The choir folks, you can come down out of there if you want to. Excuse me. Let's read. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 6. Read. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eye, and a tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse 7 says, and the eyes of them both were open, they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves, blah, blah, so forth, and so on. Verse 6. When the woman saw the tree had fruit to be desired, make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave to her husband, he ate. Look at Genesis 2 and verse 16 and 17. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. You know, the first part of a sermon, the pastor always teaches. I just take time to teach. Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. You see that? Come on, let's read. And the Lord God commanded, I need more people reading. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Now look at those words, freely. Eat whatever you want. Just whatever you want, eat of the trees that are here. Now verse 17, come on. But, no, you got to read it right. Start with but. But, I need more buts. But, now read on. Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Now is that clear? No. Adam was an intelligent fellow. And we know from reading verse 1 of Genesis 3 that Eve also had the same information. She was not created when God talked to Adam in verse 16 and 17 of chapter 2. But obviously he told her, because she said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, we can't eat that lest we die. So they were both choir, celebration choir. They were both informed. They were both informed. So if they were both informed, what in the world is verse 6 doing in the Bible? So when they ate that fruit, they were taking a... You're in the sermon. You've joined me. When they ate that fruit, they were taking a... Now, note something. Pastor's still teaching. Risk cannot exist without prior knowledge. In order to take a risk, you have to be acting contrary to information you already have. Does that make sense, choir? Or it's not a risk. Which means, please don't be insulted, that taking a risk is stupid. Don't get mad now. You have facts. See, the stop sign is there. It's there. Stop sign. And you go through it. There's only one word to describe that. You don't like the word, but it's apt. That's... Don't be afraid of the word. That's stupid. The sign says, Henry Wright, 70 miles an hour. I'm going through Tennessee now. 70 miles an hour. That's what the sign, I can read. I'm an old guy, I read. Been reading since I was about 2 or 3. I read 70, 70, 70, speed limit. I'm doing, none of your business, but it's not 70. It's not 70. And then the red lights appear. Huh? Well, the blue lights now appear. To knowingly rod, pray for the pastor, to knowingly go against information on the sign. Clear. And then the words, speed what? Limit. I can read. I know what limit means. Adam's risk. 2 weeks ago, in launching this series, Pastor talked about lesson 2 from Charleston, South Carolina. I talked about the unexpected risk that 9 people took going to a prayer service to study God's word, to fellowship. And I made the point of that sermon, before they went to that service, they did not call their loved ones and say, pray for me. Hope I'll see you tonight. They didn't call their banker to see if everything was okay, or their lawyer to check their will. They did not conceive of going to a prayer service on Wednesday night as being a risk. Never crossed their mind. And I had to inform us in that sermon that, shocked though we were, and the world was shocked, how could that happen? I had to remind us in that sermon, remember, that the whole business of being a Christian is risky. Remember that sermon? I pointed out that if we take the Bible seriously, the Bible teaches us without apology that we're in a war that Satan seeks to go about and devour. Didn't I read that? I read Revelation 12:17, that the devil has wrath against the woman, seeks to make war with the remnant of her seed. Therefore, I pointed out that really, Amory, to be a Christian is to live a daily life of risk as you do good. And I said, we should not be shocked. Folk, except for the grace of God, none of us should live through a day. Come on now, I need somebody to talk to me. Huh? Is that true? Yeah, we can't just go gliding and sliding along and acting like everything is just fine. The fact is, being a Christian is risky. And I reminded you in that sermon that there are countries where Christians can't put signs on their churches. There are countries I've preached in where, as I'm preaching, there are government agents sitting in the congregation taking notes on my sermon, seeing if there's anything undermining or surreptitious coming out of my mouth. In other words, there are countries where it's risky to preach God's word. We talked about that. But I want to take you back now to the original risks. There are many risks that people take for many different reasons. But in today's sermon, I'm going to highlight two individuals. How many? Yeah. Listen, one, Adam, risked this whole planet to serve himself. And the other, Jesus, risked himself to save the planet. Do you want me to say it again? That's a pretty good sentence. I'm going to read it again, whether you like it or not. The first Adam risked this whole planet to serve himself. We're talking about fruit, y'all. Not no Eve was involved. We're talking about fruit. But the other one, Jesus, risked himself. Somebody ought to be saying amen. Amen. Risked himself to save the planet. The word risk, when I teach homiletics, I say to young pastors, every now and then just look up the simple word, you may find something. The word risk is defined as a chance. It's a chance of injury or loss. When you take a risk, you're gambling that you may lose something. The second definition is a risk is the amount of possible loss. That is, when you take a risk, listen, when you take a risk, you are estimating what the loss might be. You're gambling that the loss may not be as bad as you thought. The person who smokes is taking a risk. They're hoping they don't get cancer. Can I get a witness? And the person who drinks is taking a risk. They're hoping they never have cirrhosis of the liver. The person who is carousing hopes that the husband doesn't come home before he leaves. Well, that was a quiet response. I thought that should have gotten the loudest amen. The point is, the second definition says that you look at the possibility of loss and you decide, hey, you decide you can handle it. Dumb. That's dumb. There are folks sitting here right now, if they could testify, would tell you, it's not worth the gamble. Can I get a witness in this house? Ah, they would say, don't do that. I thought I could handle it. I thought it wouldn't be too bad. But I can tell you that they would stand at this desk and testify, don't do that. Don't do that. That's the second definition. Third definition is to expose oneself to the possibility of injury or loss. Now, when you take that definition, that really makes us seem not very wise. Why would I expose myself to losing an arm? Expose myself to being lost? Never see Christ's face in peace. So, to sum it up, looking at those three definitions, to take a risk is risky business. and usually involves, I'm coming back to the issue of knowledge, and usually involves doing something with a knowledge of the risk. My mom, now I'm an old guy. I grew up before, we didn't have a refrigerator. I'm older than y'all think. And so mom had this special made cedar chest. Talking about risk now. She kept in that cedar chest cakes, cookies, sweet rolls. And she kept that cedar chest right in the room just outside of her bed. She had four sons. That's why I was just outside her bed. And you know, folk, it's a funny thing about the human brain. Mom's rule was simple. She didn't have any bad rule. The rule was, ask, and it shall be given unto you. That was it. Ask. That's all. Eric, ask. Mom, can I have a sweet roll? Ask, it shall be given unto you. No, not me. Can you picture your pastor, a little 9-year-old, crawling on his knees? Like I'd seen in some movie, edging around, looking. There was something exciting about it, looking. Well, I'm making a point. That's not making fun, he's making a point. Here's the thing about getting involved in a risk. You don't think clearly. And the roles are so good, and you get to eating and so forth. Crumbs. Brother, you got to clean up the crumbs. But the rolls are so good, I'm not thinking about crumbs. I'm just eating. And your kids, we cram. Now you got stuff all over your hands and so forth. Well, you know, mom, she didn't have to ask. She just followed the crumb trail. Stay with the pastor. When you take risks, you leave a trail. How do you get it? Is it clear to you, choir? When you take a risk, you leave a trail. The purpose, hear me. The purpose of serving the Lord is to shift your risk costs from damnation to salvation. See, get the sermon. Either way, it's a risk. Can I get a witness? Yeah, if you go with God, there's still going to be trouble. But when you go to serve self, that shifts the risk damage to the negative. So if, hallelujah, Jesus, if Henry Wright is going to take a risk, let at least be for something that's eternal. Amen. Taking risks to serve self usually backfire. Let's read some texts. James 4:17. James 4:17. Well, they got it on the screen. I like reading from the screen with you. Come on, let's go. Therefore, I need everybody reading now. Therefore, can you folks in the balcony see it? All right, just say they can. All right, let's go. Therefore, to him that knoweth. No. You can't read text like that. It's delicious. Come on. Therefore, to him that knoweth. Yeah, we got to pause on that word knoweth, Sister Dowdy. Knoweth. That's the key, Anastasia. That, what do you know? See, God is only concerned about your level of knowledge. When you ignore your level of knowledge, then God says, I can no longer look upon it as a mistake. What word does he use to describe it? To him it is what? Hey, sin! It's big! Taking a risk is big! These are the last days, folk. These are the last days. And so the question is legitimate for me to raise in this sermon right now. How many more risks can you afford to take? Does that seem like a fair question in this sermon? Yeah, O'Neill, how many more risks do you plan to take? Another text. Deuteronomy 30:19. This text blows my mind. Deuteronomy, fifth book in the Bible, 30:19. Hurry up now. No, I'm not hurrying. It's on the screen, Pastor. Oh, okay. All right. Oh! Woo! Come on, read, everybody. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. In other words, all of the universe is watching now. Here we go. That I have set before you what? Too big. What are your choices? What are you risking? Read on. Blessing and cursing. What's the next phrase? Now, that's insulting. That's insulting. God is saying, you're so dumb, Henry Wright. Here's death, here's life. I'm going to tell you which one to choose. Because you've got so little sense, you're choosing death every day. You can't even think your way through a day. So I'm going to take your hand like a baby and say, stay away from death, choose life. The text describes our condition. We don't even have the ability to make a sensible choice. That both thou and thy seed may live. Don't risk death. Joshua 24:15. Joshua 24:15. Oh my, we all know this one very well. Ready? And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. We got enough. That's enough. That's, we got it. Choose when? That's a very important text. Because it means that every day of your life, you are choosing which kind of a risk you will take. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And then, of course, another famous text, 1 Kings 18:21. And we'll be done with this section. 1 Kings 18 and verse 21. All this in God's word. 1 Kings 18:21. Yes. You see it? Come on now. And Elijah came unto all the people and said unto them, what? How long? See, that's back to my question, Lisa, that I raised. How many more risks will you take? How long halt you between two opinions? You got life, you got death, you have today. How long do you put off forming the habit of living a non-salvation risk life? If that sentence makes sense. How long? Questions raised. How long? So, here's the problem. The problem is that Satan tricks us into underestimating the fallout. Isn't that true? Yeah, they're standing there eating fruit. Oh, honey, not too bad. Yeah, sweetie, not bad at all. Now, they don't see deformed babies. They don't see wars. They don't see confusion. They're just eating fruit. Are you with me? He blinds your mind. He blinds your mind to the long-term results. So the risk does not seem so risky. And then he tells you the eternal lie. Everybody's doing it. How many young folk and old folk have fallen on that stone? So they did not see the shame that came, verse 8, Genesis 3. The fear that came, Genesis 3 and verse 10. The betrayal, Genesis 3 and verse 12. The pain, Genesis 3 and verse 16. The loss of peace and labor, Genesis 3, 17 through 19. And the loss of home, Genesis 3 and verse 24. Romans 5:12 says that with one sin, Adam committed a whole planet to death. One sin. And now some good news. Adam totally underestimated the love of God. Come on, y'all. See, when you mess up, hey! When you mess up, there's no risk in going to Jesus. Come on, somebody. When you mess up, there's no risk in confessing your sin. When you mess up, there's no risk in being honest and saying, when you go to God, there is no risk. Why? He's able. He's willing. Come on, somebody. When you deal with Jesus, you take away the risk. That's the part that the devil doesn't want you to see. He wants you to think that God's the kind of God that when you mess up, you can't go. He's holding against you. He won't forgive. No, no, no. Ask the Lord right now. There's no risk. He's faithful and just. He's a God that can do anything. He saves to the uttermost. And the devil tries to blind you to that fact. With Jesus, there is no risk. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. If you receive Christ, you start living eternally right then. No risk. Why is there no risk? Because of the plan. Revelation 13:8, the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. Genesis 3:15, I'll put enmity. So you're never comfortable in sin. Isaiah 53:9-10, I will take unto you the chastisement unto myself. See, there's no risk with Jesus because what he does, he takes your risks unto himself. Look at Romans 5, 17 through 19. Romans 5. Get it up there, brethren. Romans 5, 17 through 19. Come on. Everybody's reading. Come on. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. You see, this thing is so good, it's hard to preach about it. One man's sin messed up the whole planet. God says, I got a plan. What's your plan? One man's righteousness shall save the whole planet. People go around grumbling, talking about God's not fair. What do you mean? One, I didn't sin. I didn't eat no fruit. How come so-and-so? Hey. Oh, yeah, he's not fair. He's also not fair to give you righteousness through one person, but he does it. He balances the whole deal. There is none righteous, no, not one. Nobody does good, but because of Jesus, I get treated like somebody. Y'all too calm for me. Risk. There's no risk in Jesus. Because he was willing to be the risk. Ooh. Well, so he comes. He comes. We said that risk is a chance of injury or loss. We said that risk is the amount of possible loss. We said that risk is to be exposed to the chance of injury or loss. Let's put that quote up there and end this sermon. Put that quote. We're going to read this together. I want you to see something that maybe you've never thought about. Ready? Let's read. Upon Christ, as our substitute and surety, was laid the iniquity of what? All. All. Keep reading. The guilt of every descendant of Adam. Every time you've worried about the results of your sin, every time you felt bad because you have sinned, he carried that to the cross. Not just your sin, he carried your guilt. Read. Now, with the terrible weight, everybody, now with the terrible weight of guilt he bears, he cannot see. He says, I have to take on what they don't have the guts to take on. I'm going to inherit, Henry, so much guilt that the Son of God will not be able to see the face of God. Let's keep reading. So great was, everybody, so great. Read it again. So great was his agony that he physically. Our sins now have got him so weighed down. Our sins have got him so pressed. Now the fact that his back is stretched and he's almost asphyxiating because his lungs are pressed in that abnormal position and every nerve of his hand is crying out, but he cannot feel it. Why? Because Henry's guilt is worse than the pain. Henry's sin is worse than the agony. Can't feel it, but I can feel Henry. I feel his lies and deceit, his pretense, his pride. I can feel all that, and it's killing me. Read, read. The Savior, come on. Anybody who tells you that Jesus is God, and since he was God, it was no problem going to the cross. Read this. It was so real, Jesus did not see himself resurrected. Risk? You ain't never taken it. This is risk. Adored by angels. Power in his hands. Loved by the Father. Created worlds and planets. Is now hanging on a cross. And it's so rough. It is. He now cannot see what he said he would do. I'll be up in 3 days, but the cross is so, he's risking the cross. It's so bad, he can't believe his own sermon. In 3 days, I'm coming up. I said it, but now I don't believe it. Why? Because all this mess these earthlings have put upon me has so blinded me and shackled me. I've lost hope. That's risk. For you, read on. Hope, read it. Hope did not present to him his coming forth. Adam risked a planet to serve himself. Jesus risked himself to save a planet. Risked his relationship with his Father. Risked his holy status. Risked his glory and risked it all. Why? Because Henry Wright cannot live up to his own sin. He does them, but he can't handle them. He does them, he can't handle the consequences. So I will take the consequences of this fellow who loves to sin but can't stand in the gap. Gonna do what he wants to do, but he can't take the consequences. So I'll do it. Read on. Christ. Read it. Christ felt the anguish. Well, no, start at the top. We can't miss that at the top. Read. He feared. I can't read it though. Pause. Did you know that on the cross, Jesus actually feared that he would not be saved? thing about risk. This is risk. God risking not being God. Creator risking not being creator anymore. Jesus risking never seeing the... That's risk. Don't ever tell me you've taken a risk. This is risk. For you. For me. That's what you are worth to Jesus. Come on, give God glory. Glorify the name of God. Somebody say hallelujah out there. Somebody say thank you, Jesus, out there. Give God glory. You're not worth this, but he said you are. He said to the Father, I'm sorry. I will even risk never seeing heaven again so that Henry can see heaven. Now we can read the last sentence. Come on. Christ felt the anguish that the sinner will feel. In other words, Andrew Hotley, the statement is saying, Christ experienced the same feelings that the lost will feel before the lake of fire. In other words, he bore the guilt of the saved and the unsaved. Amor, you know that song, Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul? Where's Amos? Amos, come on, man. God bless you, fella. I watched you play. You know what you're doing. Come on. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me. Isn't that something? I want you to praise God. I want you to take some time right now and praise God. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. You know the song, lead us in it, Danmar. That's right, Amos. Amos, you got it. Yes. Bow your head. Supposed to be a short service today. Got carried away. Thing is too good, folks. This thing is too good. Rodney, we don't have any words to describe this, man. Dr. Deshaies, how do you put this into, how does a preacher preach this? Beyond my grasp. I've probably insulted the Lord, Sister O'Neill, for even trying to talk about it. But I want you to feel it today. Adam's risk produced the greatest risk ever recorded in the universe. God risking not to be God. Lead us, Edmar, I'm just singing that verse. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Let's sing with him. Come on. Everybody.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Sing it, sing. Everybody.
Yes. For making my soul.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for making me whole.
Say it again. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation. So rich and
really understood this sermon and the message to your heart, if this sermon really got you where it needs to, I want you to stand up right now. You know, I finished this sermon. I was so pressed this week. I did something unusual. My sermon's always done by Wednesday. But I had to write two sermons. It was a busy week. But I didn't finish this sermon until Friday morning. And I was so full when I got done. I was so overwhelmed. I just paced back and forth in the office. Because Dr. J, I had not quite ever gotten it before. That the risk that Adam took caused God to risk the unity of the Trinity. I could not get that thing. And as it poured into me, I paced. I paced back and forth. I could not sit down in my study, sister. I just kept walking and I found myself saying, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that God would risk the entire Godhead. You got to get this thing. If you never pay attention to anything the pastor says again, you got to get this today. Thank you, Jesus. I am somebody. I'm worth everything. God put himself on the line for the human race. One man risked the planet to serve himself. And one man risked himself to save the planet. His name is Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Jesus. Now perhaps your life is a little raggedy. You hadn't really grasped this. Today. And you want to express yourself further than just standing.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
You want to say to the Lord, I see myself today with my stupid little risks, my petty little self-serving decisions. I see myself as I've never seen myself before. I need prayer, Pastor. You ought to be coming. Come on down. I need prayer. I need prayer. Come. You need prayer. Self-serving decisions suddenly are abominable to you as you've heard this word. Come on down. Just fill this area. I don't care who comes. Elders, deacons, deaconess, long time in the church. Man, I don't care who comes. Just come. And we'll pray for you. God knows what kind of decisions you're making. He knows what kind of decisions I'm making. We'll pray for you. By nature, the human race is self-serving. We're self-serving. But Jesus is in contrast to me. He is planet-serving. Just pray, Father, folks are coming. But these who are coming have seen themselves in a different light. They see their self-serving risks as abominable, unacceptable. God risking his godliness for me? We read it. We just read it. It's left me speechless. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, I lift up these precious ones with myself. I'm not going to make a call today to join the church. Don't have my cards and things. Or for Bible study. But I'll be in the back shaking hands as people leave. You can come. I'll register your name. I'll call you this week. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that the word seems petty, but thank you. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated.